takbo lang ng takbo.
Takbo lang ng takbo.
Habang may semento.
Habang may semento.
Kung walang semento.
Kung walang semento.
Gagawa tayo.
Gagawa tayo.
So let's have a good time. Let's sit down, start a conversation, and let that conversation run. Only here on Matt Runs.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Matt Runs. Today with me is a man named Pastor
Jasper.
Right there, Pastor Jasper. And his Instagram is Pastor Jasper. And I got to know him because of Instagram, because he commented actually in with Geno Sobehana's episode.
Yeah.
And this man has been living off his backpack for how many years?
Maybe 5 years. Close to 5 years now.
Mm. And you have 5 t-shirts.
Maybe a little more than that. Maybe 7, 6.
Okay. Two jeans.
2 jeans.
3 underwears.
Yeah. Nah, a little bit. Maybe 10.
So how do you do this, bro? What made you decide to live off your backpack and just roam around the world?
Yeah, it's interesting because I've never planned to do this. You know, growing up, I don't read. I don't like to read.
Okay.
I remember the only thing that I would read in school is National Geographic.
Okay.
So I'm always like, so I grew up having this wanderlust, like, ah, man, I want to see the world. And then when I was 17, I got sick and woke up in the hospital. And
when you were 17?
Yeah, when I was 17. And then the doctor, I had technically had a severe seizure. My dad brought me to the hospital. The doctor said, hey, we had to do an MRI scan. And then they saw a little thing in my head. They said it's a tumor. I don't know what it is, but it's something in my head that makes me have seizure. You know, that's scary.
But it only happened one time.
I think it happened like twice or three times. Okay. Or something like that. Yeah, but almost all of it is like when I was sleeping. Yeah. Okay. And so I woke up in the hospital. After a year of that, my father came up and said, hey, I think you're not going to school. You know, I think you should rest. You know, and then after a year, my father said, I think God is calling you to be a pastor. Now, if you're a Filipino, you understand this, because you have no choice. If your parents say something, hey, this is what the route you need to take. And so my father was like, hey, I think you need to be a pastor. And so I went to school as a pastor, finished all my degree in theology, went to Indonesia as a pastor. And then from there, I decided, you know what, I'm going to just quit work and travel and do photography and missions. Yeah.
I mean, wait, let's take it back first. Did you even want to be a pastor?
No, dude. No, never wanted to be a pastor. I don't want to be one. I think I felt like all pastors were hypocritical, and why they tuck in shirts and they have ties and all that kind of stuff. I don't like these stuff. Never liked it.
So pastor of what religion?
Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah.
So it's the same, you believe, of what, is it
the same thing, right? Yeah, same thing. We worship on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, on Sabbath, yeah.
But you served as a pastor.
Yeah.
You went through four years of
four
school.
Years. 4 years, dude. Never liked it. But I found God. This is where I found God. And this is where I really believe in grace. You know, one of my favorite authors says that grace is an attribute given to undeserving human beings. We do not seek for grace, but grace was sent in search for us. I was not finding God at all, but I believe that God found me there in that school. And so that was my Christian journey. That's where it started. And just to tell you, you know, so you won't be scared. My tumor is gone. After a few months, every 6 months, I had my MRI scans while I was in school. And the tumor is getting smaller and smaller. And when I was 21 years old, the last MRI scan, the tumor was completely gone.
How?
I have no idea, bro. I have no medication. I have no medication. The only thing that I remember drinking was anti-seizures. That's the only thing. I have no change of diet, because many people would attribute it. It's like, oh, if you change your diet, you'll be healthier and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, technically, no, tumor is gone.
So what do you, what reason do you give of why your tumor disappeared?
Miracle. That's the only thing I can really tell people. Like, the only reason why the tumor is gone is because God has a purpose. Like, hey.
So you moved to Indonesia to work as a pastor.
Yeah.
For how many years?
4 years.
And then?
And then after that, I held a camera for the first time, my brother. For
how
the first
old
time
you?
Again. When I was 22, the first time I held a camera again. I used to have a camera when I was 11, but I lost that. But then I felt this nostalgia. I was like, man, this is so cool. And so that's the time it started. Like, oh, I had a GoPro, started to have a camera. Just started with little things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really believe that if you're faithful to that which is little, you'll be faithful to that which is much. You know, and so I said, man, if I am faithful with little, I think God will give me opportunities to do more. And so slowly I start to have a drone, you know. And the first experience I had when I went to Palawan, before it was famous, I flew my drone there and made a montage video.
Wow.
And that video went 1.3 million views.
Where?
In Facebook.
Okay.
And so that was the first experience. And I was like, man, this is cool. I want to start something, you know. And I have no idea what I was doing, but I have mentors. So I called them. I was like, hey, man, we need to do this. And so, yeah, we've been doing some short commercial stuff.
Well,
to live.
Tell people about your journey, bro, that you've been living off your backpack for 5 years around the world.
Yeah.
Not just around the Philippines, but around the world.
Yeah. So when I was a pastor, I decided, because I have this urge to really, hey, maybe I could do something based on social media's missions,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was restricted in four walls. You know, and the only, when you go to church, it's all like the pastor needs to be in a pulpit. When you hold a camera, that's not pastoral, you know. So I was like, man, I need to do something else, you know. And sometimes we're like, hey, think outside the box, you know. And I was like, man, why don't we get rid of the box? Why don't just go step out of the boat, yeah, and do something? And so I left, man. I had a project to film the history of the Christian church in Europe. And I've never met these people before, but they saw my work. And they were like, Facebook. And they were like, hey, you want to be part of us? I've never met these people, by the way. And I told my church, hey, I'm resigning. I'm going to Europe. So I flew to Europe, bro. I've never seen, you know, I'm from Negros. Mm. I've never seen winter before. Okay. I flew alone. Yeah, I packed board shorts. I've never experienced. This was in the dead of winter. So I flew there 4 months, man. 4 months in Europe. And you know what the miracle is? I've never spent a single penny when I was in Europe. I was couch surfing. Like, I will tell people and church members, like, I would preach on the weekends and you take care of me in that week. Is that okay? And they're like, yeah. And I've been to 8 countries, man. 8 countries without spending money. That was it. That's just
food,
couch surfing.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah. That's where
transportation, everything free.
Everything for free. That's where I went to Italy. Like, I went throughout towns in Italy, man, and just meet people there, couch surfing.
I mean, if you're in the street and you're hungry, how do you buy food?
No, I have a little bit of money, but I've never spent a single money, penny. Like, people, I live with them. And there are Filipinos everywhere too.
So how do you meet these people?
Instagram. Some people will go to this particular dude that went to my church when I was in Indonesia. He's a pilot in Papua, but he's Italian. And so he took care of me when I was in Italy. Yeah, and then he referred me to some people in Venice and, you know, the Dolomites.
So traveling around, that's where I proposed to Sarah, the Dolomites.
Oh, dude, beautiful.
You've been there?
Oh, I've been there twice. One of
Cortina,
the most beautiful.
Cortina?
Yeah.
That's where I proposed, bro.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cortina?
Yeah.
Wow. It does the Tri Cheme?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Grand.
So what do you do when you travel?
So I do photography. I preach. But on the side, I do a lot of filmmaking for nonprofits or small ministries. And I make videos for them. So they have a little exposure on the internet and people can donate money.
So I was following, that's how we met, no? Because you commented on one of my posts and I started following you and connected from there. But dude, if you follow Jasper's Instagram account, it's crazy, super sick pictures, guys, of beautiful places all around the world.
Thanks, man.
All around the world. I mean, who taught you how to do that?
YouTube.
Really?
I've never went to school with it. Everything you want to learn, man, is YouTube. Again, this is the secret. Just be faithful with what you have. We have a generation where we always complain, we need a better gear. We need a better gear. Better gear does not equal to better result. It's wrong. You don't go to Gordon Ramsay and say, oh, dude, your food is so good. What knives do you use? You don't do that, right? It's all about the magician, not the magic hat. And so if you really hone in your craft and say, hey, I'll be faithful with it, right? I never had a camera, bro. I had a cell phone, though, when I was starting. And I would YouTube every day how to maximize my phone. There's an app that does that. And I was like, man, this is possible. And so I started with that. And in just 1.5 years, I got featured in National Geographic 5 times.
Really?
1.5 years.
How did they see your work?
So
Instagram
or Nat Geo Your Shot, where you submit your stuff. And then the editors would critique you. And,
so
and they publish
you you submitted your work there. What do you get out of it aside from
clout?
That's it.
They're like, oh,
pay
I've been
you
there.
Or anything?
Yeah, no payment.
It's just.
Yeah, it's almost like National Geographic will tell you, you're welcome, bro.
That's it. But at least 5 pictures, 5 photos of you were.
Yeah, and that's coming from a dude that has no idea what he's doing. It's just like, again, just be faithful with whatever you have. Don't wait for better gears.
So I was following on Instagram your post the other day of you in Italy, you in Indonesia, trying this food, trying all these kinds of foods, bro. What's your favorite country all around the world?
Oh, wow. That's Indonesia might be up there. Italy, because everywhere in Italy is just beautiful. You go to the cities, beautiful. You go to the mountains, mountainside and the oceans, and the food and countryside Italy, the people is just amazing.
Have you ever like got into fights, arguments with just random people?
No, so far. God is good. I don't know how to fight, bro, so please don't pray for that.
But you get into arguments, or does people get tired of you there? Is there anything negative that happens?
No. So far, everything is so smooth. I get into sketchy situations, like a plane crash almost crashed.
What do you mean?
Like, so there's a specific situation. We went to Tawi-Tawi,
okay,
and our plane got into a storm,
okay,
and I thought that was it. I was like, oh man, I'm gonna die. 6-seater airplane.
And
I'm
then?
Like, oh. But we survived it. And then when we arrived, we went to Tawi-Tawi, 6-hour boat, and then our engine died in the middle of the ocean in Abu Sayyaf area.
And?
You know, and the people were like, oh, people get beheaded here, you know, we need to leave. Yeah, we were drifting for 6 hours in the middle of the ocean.
With who?
Sulu Sea, with my friends. Like, the pastors there or the teachers.
Aren't you scared of situations like this?
I'm scared, I get scared. When I go to sketchy places, I get scared a lot. When I went to North Korea, I get scared a lot.
You were in North Korea?
Yeah, I went to North Korea 2 years ago.
To do what?
Just some messed up decision. Like, I want, by the way,
feature North Korea?
No, it was. I just want to see it.
You just wanted to experience North Korea. And how was that?
It was. And again, just for the record, anyone who's listening, I'm not recommending you go to North Korea.
How come?
It was just messed up place, man. And the money that you pay, the tourism goes to the North Korean government, which helps them, you know. So
how long were you in North Korea for?
I've only been there for a day. Because I don't want to spend so much time, yeah. For maybe about 12 hours or something like that.
What was the feeling of being in North Korea?
It was, oh man, it's like going back in time, 1995.
Really?
The shoes is old, the tractors and the cars, everything is just old. The food, wild.
So
no internet.
You shot it. You did a little documentary on North Korea.
No.
Or you just went
to experience
there, yourself.
And I was restricted, no cell phones. I was not allowed to bring a lens more than 100 millimeter. So it was all restricted. And you can only point your camera when the lady tells you, hey, point here, you can take a picture. And they'll delete every single photo.
They'll check your photos.
Oh, dude, they check my photos? And it's so funny because I was taking pictures illegally, quote unquote, illegally, because I'm not allowed to do that. And the lady, she caught me and she got so mad. I was like, dude, we told you not to take pictures here. The North Korean guide. Yeah, and when you take photos of the statue of Kim Jong-un, when it's cropped or it's not properly positioned, they'll delete it.
Really?
Yeah, so that's how they're super real.
Were you scared? Were you sweaty the whole time?
Bro, I got so scared. Like, that was
with?
I was alone. Yeah, it's messed up, man. Yeah. So anyways, when I went out of North Korea, I told you, right? We went to this places where there's the kids performing for us. Six years old, 7-year-old kid, and they're like backflipping, bro. They're playing drums like Guns N' Roses. They were like so good at it, and their face are like poker face. I wish I could show you pictures. They messed up.
Why?
I don't know. Like, how can the 5-year-old perform like that?
Really good.
Yeah, I've never even seen an adult do that, you know, in person. And they're like, man, I don't know if they have a life or they're just poker face, like dead. And I was taking photos.
But you were with other tourists also.
I was with Chinese people.
And
I was
what
the
were
only
they
Filipino.
Saying?
I don't know. I don't understand them. But
what did
I
you
was
eat
just,
there? What food did they serve?
They have the normal Korean, like kimchi. And the only thing that I remember is kimchi because I'm a vegetarian, and the rest was shells, and I don't eat meat yet.
So after traveling 50 countries all over the world, you're here in the Philippines now doing something amazing, which I've been following you, bro. You've linked up with this paramedic pilot and his wife, picking up people that are in need of medical treatment up in the mountains.
Yep.
Can you talk to us more about that?
Yeah, so six years ago, I filmed these guys, a story about the aviation. So I'm with a Philippine Adventist Medical Aviation Services, which is technically just an organization focused on aviation and using it to, again, medical evacs and remote places. So I made a film about them.
Is it out?
Yeah, it was very old. I won't recommend you watch it. Okay. That's why I'm making a new one.
Okay.
But anyways, so I went and met my friend Daniel because 6 years ago I promised him, hey, dude, I'm going to make you a film because he left when okay. I came. So I only spent 1 day flying with him.
6 years after?
6 years after I went back and I was like, dude, you know, I'm going to film you. And so I'm here with him and the whole idea is to go there for 4 days. Because my plan is to go to America. I have a job offer in America to
Which
be
was?
Media director in California for a wellness center in for Mental Health Wellness Institute.
Which you clearly denied.
So that's the story. Okay. Because I'm supposed to be for only 4 days.
Okay.
And then I've seen so much need there, and I've sent an email to decline the job, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna live in the jungles. This is cool, you know. And so I met so with Daniel, we fly every day, we rescue people, we do medical evacs, and I've also discovered that the organization, they make schools. So they build so far about 3 schools. And there's more schools there too, but 3 main schools that they built. And it's mostly focused on giving literacy to the indigenous people. Because most of these people, man, they don't know how to speak Tagalog. And so
what do they speak?
Palawan. This is like totally alien language for me. Like I don't understand it, you know, and I speak Bisaya and Ilonggo with no traces at all. It's so different, and so every time they go to the towns, bro, they are afraid of doctors because they get mistreated. And I don't think they really get maltreated. The only reason why they feel that way because no one speaks their language,
okay,
and so they don't know the medicine and all that. And sometimes they end up just dying in the mountains because of lack of education, medicine. Yeah, and medicine, yeah.
So describe to us a day with Daniel. I mean, talk about what Daniel does, who Daniel is, what Daniel flies.
Yeah. So my friend Daniel flies an old helicopter from the 1960s or something like that.
Okay.
It's from during the in Switzerland during the war.
So he bought this chopper.
He bought this chopper from the US for okay. $200,000.
Okay.
And it's old, but it, you know, it's maintained well.
Okay.
And so they shipped it here. They used to have an R-44 helicopter. It's a red R-44 that they use. Now it's overhauled, so they need to buy a new one.
So they're using this yellow chopper now.
Yeah.
Which is super old.
Bro, it's catchy old.
Okay, describe to me a typical day in Palawan.
So the typical day is, it varies. When you go to the field, it varies. So sometimes you don't have any flights. Because now again, it's really scarce because of COVID. The locals are very afraid of COVID, so they won't call. They only call if it's a super super emergency.
Like what?
Like someone got hit with a coconut in the head, where they you know they have bleedings, or like they're all like dying on bed. Yeah, that's the situation.
So you get the call and then you go on board.
Yeah,
and
then you fly there. Sometimes the mountains, sometimes in Balabac Islands, which is about an hour flight. And some of these are maybe 10-minute flight. So just to give you a little idea, this is so rough. The terrain is so rough. The ratio is 1 minute in the helicopter is an hour flight. That's reverse. So and 1 minute in the helicopter is an hour hiking.
Whoa.
In the jungles. So imagine when you're sick up there, like who's going to carry you?
So there are a lot of people up there.
Oh, bro. A lot of people.
Surprisingly.
In the jungles. These I'm talking about like Amazon-style jungles. Because, you know,
so how was it for them to see a chopper?
Oh, the first time they saw it, yeah. Man, they were like, whoa, they were shocked, you
really?
Know? Yeah, even me flying the drone, they were like, whoa, you're like a rock star, you know? Because, like, you have something that flies.
So, describe to me the patients you guys pick up there.
So, indigenous people, some of them are young kids. Sadly, some of them were a result of just, there's no education.
Like what?
Like I wish they called us earlier, but you know what they do? They call witch doctors.
Okay.
And so there's a guy, Darny. He has this bladder burst and he has yellow, like jaundice everywhere. Mm. This dude is dying. I wish I could show pictures here, but man, dying, this dude. And they called us and that dude has been for a month, been transferring from different witch doctors.
What do the witch doctors do?
They just... I don't
pray
know.
Pray over him, give him
yeah,
herbal medicine.
Yeah, with all these ceremonies like killing a chicken. I don't know. I don't know how it looks like, but that's how I perceived it to be. Right? And so they call us and the dude is already like a vegetable. Like
really?
He can't stand. Like, man. But,
so you guys picked him up?
Yeah.
And then did he survive?
Yeah, so far he survived. yeah, we were happy about it. Darnie, if you follow my Instagram, there's a lot of before and after where I compare just before and after of these people, man. And so that's the whole idea. Like, what is the, I could, because the when we were starting, what we do is just give food to people. Mm-hmm. We give them food, we give them blankets. But I was like, man, this is like giving a Band-Aid. So what can we do to really do a lasting thing, right? Because I could just go there and do a photo, photos and do Instagram stuff, and that's it. But what can we do to do a lasting impression or in the, for the future of the kids? Which was the school. It's like, man, in order to set people free, they need to be educated.
So you're building a jungle school.
Yeah. So I said, man, I wanted to build a jungle school. So this is the crazy thing. Starting because I was with Daniel, right? Mm-hmm. So a little backtrack about this, I guess. I was with Daniel and we were flying, and the chopper and the organization is donor funded.
Okay.
That means they don't have any salary. None of these guys have salary. The only reason why they survive is because people give donation for right. fuel. And Daniel that month only has $200 of donation from people. That's 10,000 pesos, mm. bro. And that's only a drum. One drum is like 12,000 pesos.
How many drums do you need?
One drum is 1 hour flight. Wow. That's it. So that's not even enough, you know? And so I was like, man, what can we do? And so I started posting this in Instagram. But the whole idea first is that when I first saw this teacher Jillian up in the mountains, she was adopted by American missionaries. Okay. This lady, dude, has an American citizen, a citizenship in America.
But she's Pinay.
She's Filipino, but adopted by Americans.
And she lives up there.
She decided to, you know what, I'm just going to leave America and stay up in the mountains. And she got married there and she built a school, very small school. So when I went there, I said, what do you need? She said, oh, if you could give us rice, that would be great. Maybe a sack of rice could feed the whole village. And I was like, oh, cool. And so I posted it on Instagram. I said, hey, you guys want to help me buy rice for teacher Jillian? The next day, bro, I have 500,000 pesos of donation from Instagram stories.
From just people around the world.
Yeah. And that Instagram story expires in 24 hours. How in the world did that happen? I don't know.
So you just put the bank account there and they just deposit whatever?
They message me and I give them the pilot's bank accounts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then, so after a day or two, we have 250,000 pesos for Daniel's fuel and 250,000 pesos of rice for 13 villages to support 9 teachers for their allowance that month. All funded by Instagram.
Crazy, man.
Yeah, and so that where the initiative came was like, man, what would happen if I build a school based on social media? And I was like, how will that happen? But I said to my Instagram followers, say, hey, you guys want to help me build a school? And just a week, we had 1 million pesos.
You tried going back to the US, but you got denied.
Yeah.
How come?
So I'm this was February or something, or April. I went to the US, flew there. And I was just to visit. And then when I came to San Francisco, bro, the first time, I've been to the US countless of times. The first time I got interviewed and I got detained for 24 hours, my man.
Doing what?
24 hours. They were detained. They were detaining me. They were just asking me so many questions. Yeah, in a room. In the white room. That was the most depressing time of my life.
Were they strict? How were they?
Very strict.
Like how?
Very strict. So
like in your face, strict. Yeah, what are you doing here?
Yeah, why are you doing here? Like, why in the world did you travel in 50 countries in 3 years? How did you fund this? And all that kind of stuff. And I was like, dude, I don't have a home. Like, I could do this, you know? So they
But you told them your mission and everything.
Yeah, I'm a missionary and all that. And they asked me, why did you go to so many Muslim countries? All these stories, man. I was crying, dude. That was like the most depressing. Because I mean, to be labeled a criminal is something else. Like, I was in a room with people with handcuffs. Like, dude, I'm a pastor. Like, why am I here in this room? So,
bro, in moments like that, who do you latch on to? Who do you call?
Oh, you can't call anyone. You just couldn't only call a friend from the US outside. Yeah.
Did you call someone?
Yeah, so I asked my friend who's picking me up. I was like, dude, I'm not coming, so. He's been waiting in the airport, so.
So you handle this all of this on your own, like if something like that happened to me, I'll call my wife or my dad or something. But I'm here.
Help. Yeah, no, I even told him, I was like, hey, can you call my uncle? But I was, I don't.
So they thought
like,
you were a terrorist. Or
yeah,
something.
And I told him, hey, my uncle is the AFP chief. Like, dude, this guy, like, I can't be a terrorist while my relative is like this, you know. But hey.
And what did they say?
and they were double checking my background and all that. But at the end of the day, so one thing about American immigration is that they can deny you based on feelings.
Okay.
If they feel like you're a threat or something like that, then they'll bring you home. And this guy has like his emotions were so bad. I don't know. He probably having a bad day. So I got like.
So you went back.
I went back.
They flew you back.
So remember when you go to the US, they ask you for a return ticket.
Okay.
Because that's like, if in case you can't get in, they'll use the ticket for free and yeah, that's it.
So after 24 hours, you flew back where?
Flew back to Manila. And I get quarantined, went to Negros, fell into deep.
When was this?
Huh? April.
You went back to Negros and then I fell into
deep depression.
Really?
I mean, dude, I'm a dude who travels in like almost a new country every week. And then here comes COVID plus that, you know, the first time I got denied. Yeah, to enter a country. And I got into my worth, everything was, man, I have to question myself. Why am I doing this? Why did you not take a proper job? You know, and all that kind of stuff. And I was stuck there for 3-4 months, man. I was just, yeah, crying. I was like, man, what do I do next? Yeah, I have no idea.
So how did you stand up, pick yourself up and continue? How do you do that?
Fitness was really a big deal for me. Like when I fell into deep depression, I started to work out. And that was the healthiest time of my life where I get to work out. For the first time, I had a schedule. Because I've never had a schedule, right? The first time I had a schedule, I get to work out. Meal prep, all these kind of stuff, and I get very healthy, and that really helped me in my mental health journey. And then a friend of mine called me from an organization called Waves for Water, and they called me in Palawan. It's like, bro, I can't enter Palawan. No, we'll make you apor, you know. And then
why couldn't you enter Palawan?
Because Palawan is closed.
Oh, okay.
The only reason, the only way you can go in is when you're like official or apor, yeah. And so they processed my papers, and we flew to Quezon for 3 days. That's when I went to Palawan, and I told my friend Daniel, hey, dude. You have a helicopter. You're still flying a helicopter? And I was like, yeah, I'm still here. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go visit 4 days. And that 4 days now ends up to be 4 months. Almost 2 months. Just living in the jungles.
And helping people.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And shooting everything.
Yeah, filming, doing a vlog. And all.
What's your main goal with shooting all of this?
I wanted to create awareness that there's a lot more people here. And I want to create awareness that there are people that are sacrificing themselves, yeah, for the betterment of the community. Yeah, there are people out there that does, like, for show. But there are people that lives with people. Like I'll give you an example. In Quezon, barangay health workers, they go up in these jungles. And they check people's health, right? They hike. And you know how much they get paid? 500 pesos. My Spotify premium is more expensive than that. Right, my Netflix is more. These dudes, they walk every day. They check people's status and health, and they hiked with us, delivering water filters to the communities. And I'm like, what am I doing in my life, man? I'm paying. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Spotify Premium or whatever. But the thing is that there are people that are really living, like, for the betterment of their community, and these are real heroes they don't have any exposure. And I'm like, I want to make a YouTube channel, or at least my Instagram, give them recognition.
Do you have a YouTube channel already?
I rebranded my YouTube channel. So just my name, Jasper Ivan Iturriaga.
Yeah. So it's you're uploading videos already?
Yeah. First video, my first blog. And then I'll be...
What's your YouTube channel?
Jasper Ivan Iturriaga. That's my last name. Iturriaga.
So going back to my question before we took a break, right? How do you make sure you're building all these schools, all these big efforts, etc., and then how do you make sure in one day the government might stop, the army might stop your operations, or NPA might go in and infiltrate your location? How do you make sure you're safe?
Well, number one, you just have to pray that won't happen. Okay. Because again, you're living in the mountains, and there's a big possibility of rebels will come. I mean, that's a given.
Have you encountered rebels?
No, so far, no. Yeah, Daniel would tell me there are situations where he encountered them. But never really like life threatening. We hear people saying, oh, we see these people walking around, but during these times there's like none. So to make sure, like, number again, it's difficult to be infiltrated because our schools are ALS is what is it called? Alternative learning system. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, and it's a church run ministry. So I don't think we'll have any NPAs coming to infiltrate our education. But yeah, if you're asking if there's any chance that people would come and do rebel stuff, I mean, I don't know. But so far, it hasn't happened in the past 9 years.
And I hope it won't.
Yeah, oh, man, that would be a disaster.
So what do you teach in your schools, bro? What's the normal curriculum?
So we since it's church run, we teach the Bible. But mostly we teach them how to read. It's an alternative learning system accredited. So we teach them literacy. And then from there, they can proceed to high school. And then by God's grace, hopefully they can proceed to college. And they become teachers and they go back to their own people.
Wow.
Yeah. So our goal, if we have enough money, our goal is to have practical schools, like how to fix motorbikes or carpentry or, you know, construction. Yeah, that they can really have practical stuff for the parents too.
That's really interesting, bro. I hope one day that will really happen. I hope all of these projects you're doing will really bear fruit.
Oh man, I'm praying that's the goal. I wanted to be able to really like show people how powerful social media is, our influence.
So your social media today is funding this whole project?
Yeah, 100% funded by social media.
Instagram.
There's probably a 1% that from Facebook, but it's all Instagram, based on Instagram stories.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. What's your whole big picture goal here, bro? After 5 years, what do you want to have? What projects do you want to accomplish?
Yeah, my whole goal really is, by God's grace, that these kids would graduate. And hopefully some of them become pilots. Some of them become teachers. Some of them become nurses and doctors. And if that's the only prize I'll get from this, I'll be happy, bro. I wanted to be able to see kids not get married at the age of 10.
What do you mean?
Because some of these kids get married at the age of 10 and it hurts my heart, you know? Like,
well, but wait, this is normal for them to get...
Dude, it's normal.
Who do they marry 10 and 10?
Some are older. They're like
arranged marriage.
Yeah, some I would say some are arranged marriages.
Like how? What's the age difference of marriage over there?
Maybe some of them will be 16, some will be 14. I've
marrying
heard,
a 10-year-old.
Yeah,
you've seen this with your own eyes.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
It hurts, man. When I see a 16-year-old get married, it's just like it pains you.
What do you mean you see it? You see the actual ceremony?
I know some of these kids. Like
what do you mean?
So there's a kid from. Remember the pilot guy?
Okay.
So she they have someone that they take care of to help them, and in turn they give them money, right?
Okay.
To help the chores and all that kind of stuff. And she's getting married.
How old is she?
She's only 16.
Getting married to?
To another dude. I don't know how old is the dude. 18 or something. I'm not sure. But they're so young, and they're like, it's almost like they're forced.
What are their marriage like? Is there a certain ceremony? What kind of ceremony?
I've never been to a Palawan ceremony, but they said it's in the middle of the night.
Okay.
And they celebrate and they dance, and I don't know. I need to.
You should document.
That's my plan. But man, to really see kids getting married that age, it's hard, disheartening. Really,
but
sad.
10-year-old kids get married,
yeah,
and they're sexually active already.
I am not sure about that, but I'm sure. I mean, if you get married with someone, I'm sure there's something there.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that's the whole idea. How do you stop that? You can't stop that by giving food. You can't stop that by giving, oh, here's a book, read this. No, you need to be able to have someone to stay there and teach these kids. And
education.
Yeah, and education. And I'm happy that there are two teachers who's willing to do that.
So now, right now, oh, there's only two teachers in this school.
Yeah, only two. It's a small community. Maybe maximum 50 kids.
So you're building this jungle school in Palawan. How much percent are you done?
So I just started last month.
Okay.
So we're still groundbreaking. They're still cutting off grass. And one thing that makes it a little bit slower is because of materials.
Where do you get the materials?
So out of the mountains. So... They get
bamboo, wood,
stuff, yeah, from the forest, and then the helicopter drops cement. Yeah.
So you're again going back to the chopper. This chopper is like a World War something chopper, really old chopper. How do you know you're not gonna malfunction?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we pray that every my friends from Instagram always text me, you know, be careful, Kobe died, you know, and I'm like, man, stop.
What about Daniel? Is he scared?
No, Daniel's a flight instructor.
Okay. And he's in America.
Yeah, he's like I don't know, 2,000 hours or...
He's a flight instructor, flight mechanic, and a paramedic, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So everything, yeah. And when we fly, it's just casual for him. The dude is crazy sometimes because he talks about plane crashes and helicopter crashes.
He's been into crashes before?
No, he has been to partial engine failure. That's what he said.
Okay. And what happens
then? He never told me about... he never mentioned about any crashes.
Wow. Dude, invite everybody to follow your Instagram page.
Yeah, please.
This is amazing.
So, yeah, if you have Instagram, please follow me, PSTR Jasper. That's PSTR Jasper.
Amazing.
So, yeah, man. Please.
And his pictures are amazing. The quality of photos, 5 photos, National Geographic, and the missions you do, bro. I showed your stuff to Irwan a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
And to all my friends, you know, I tell them about you, and I wish you continue that advocacy, bro. So, dude, you've been living like a minimalist lifestyle for all these years.
Yeah. I won't call it minimalist. Is when you have money and you choose to do that. Mine is like poverty. They have no choice, you know. I can't pay for bag, like an extra bag. Well, you have to, out of necessity, need to be minimalist, I guess, you know.
Don't you like panic sometimes? Don't you go inside? Oh shit, I don't have money today. I mean, you have savings, right?
Yeah. Oh no, when I was traveling, I have no savings, bro. I have carried cash, too. It's only in like 2 years ago that I have my a legit bank account.
How do you keep a positive mindset? Like, I see you now, you're such a joyful man. You have a great heart. You're smiling all the time. Don't you get confused and say, yo, what's next?
When you have a second life, and it's like your second life, and you get to walk, and you get to breathe, and you get to go to different countries, that's already a reason to rejoice and to be happy, man. Why would I? Can I tell you a story that taught me this? My cousin, bro, from Australia, both of us, we were both depressed. I was preaching one time and I was like depressed. I was a pastor. I did, for the record, I did 25 countries in 2 months one time. And I got so exhausted because I'm preaching and all that. And preaching became something, it's like a chore. You know, it's like washing the dishes. You don't want it, but you have to do it. You know, but then I realized, man, my worth is not in preaching, you know, and I realized my worth is really in my God, yeah, Jesus. This is where it is. And I was there down, bro. And my cousin texted me, hey, he's half Australian. Hey, dude, I'm traveling around Australia. Why didn't you come? And I was like, oh, what are you riding? He's like, dude, I built a van.
Your cousin?
Yeah, my cousin built a van. And this guy had a divorce. Got into deep, deep, deep depression, dude, and almost killed himself. And he decided, you know what? Instead of killing myself, I'd make a van. You should interview this guy, ex-Navy SEALs. SAS, he's in Australia. And I'll tell you, this is an amazing story, right? So he was driving and I was like, dude, I'm going to cancel my trip to New Zealand and I'm going to join you. So I canceled my trip in New Zealand, supposed to speak there. I went there, dude, flew to the western part of Australia and I met him there in a van. And we traveled for a month in the outback, the deserts. And I tell you, man, we were driving the nearest town, 600 kilometers. Very far. This is big, big country, right? And we were driving and I was asking him all questions. This guy is an agnostic. Doesn't believe in God, but he saved my ministry. And he gave me encouragement, man. And I realized that my worth is not based on what I feel and my circumstances. I should not be shaped by circumstances, but I should shape the circumstance, right? I should use it. And I was like, man, what can I do? And this guy is my inspiration. This dude decided, you know, I'm not going to kill myself. I'm going to study motorbikes in YouTube. So he bought a 250 dirt bike. Mm. And he started to study in YouTube. And he became the fastest man to cross all of this Australian desert.
Really?
With a motorbike.
What's his name?
Benji Brunden. You can read him in Guinness World of Records.
Really?
So from depression, and in just a matter of 1.5 years or 2 years, to a Guinness World of Record. So that dude taught me a lot. It was like, man, like,
if you break a record, do you get paid or something?
I don't know if you get paid, but you get this like
this plaque,
like a
whatever.
Plaque that you're like you broke. That guy spent 2 months in the desert with a motorbike.
Bro, do you have a goal? I know you have a vision and all these missions you're doing and everything, but do you have a goal to one day get married, have kids, have a family of your own, and settle down? Like, literally settle down.
I would love to. I don't know how it would look like, but I live one day at a time, so we'll see how it goes. But yeah,
but
I
do have a plan.
Yeah, I would love to get married and have kids. Yeah, I don't know how, because I have a crazy lifestyle. Maybe it needs like a girl who's crazy enough to do this.
Or maybe a girl might settle you down. Don't you think, or no?
Maybe, we'll see. I had a, I don't know if this is crazy if I could say this, but I was in a relationship and we were in a different, you know, because she wants me to settle.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, I wanted to
Where
travel.
Where was this? Abroad?
In California. Yeah.
American?
Yeah, she's an American, yeah. And I had a job offer in the U.S. and I also declined it because I decided to go to Africa.
What did you do in Africa?
I went to film, went to safaris. Yeah.
So all these films of yours, all the material and content of yours, where do you plan to release them?
In my YouTube channel. I try to make vlogs about.
You haven't released them yet.
I haven't.
You're still editing all.
Yeah. It's just the traveling and, you know, there's a new project and so, you know, backlogs. So I've still wanted to release my vlog in North Korea because I was filming there.
You should, man.
And it's funny because, you know, when I left North Korea, they deleted my footage. But there's a software, $20, that restores deleted items.
So you did that.
So I was like, yeah, deleted. And I,
so you're able to get everything again.
Yeah, I got them. I got all my stuff, man. I was like, yeah, deleted, bro. What they should have done is like break the memory card, right? I don't know why they deleted it, dude.
So, dude, you just proved that there are a lot of people around the world that have good hearts and good souls.
I mean, there are people. I meet a lot of people. Like does this? Like, I went to China, bro. There's a place called the Leper Colony.
Okay.
And I met people who takes care of lepers.
Did you film this?
Yeah, I wasn't able to release it because the Chinese government cracked them down because they're Christians and they're not allowed to do that.
Can you release it still?
I can. I show it to people privately. Why or to churches privately.
Why don't you show it in your YouTube channel?
They'll crack down the people, and they might get in jail.
Oh, those people.
Yeah, because it's illegal to do that Christian stuff in China. If you're not, especially if you're not registered for Chinese government.
What do you mean? How do they take care of leopards?
The lepers, they, because leprosy is really bad, right? Your eyes will fall off. You never feel it.
Really?
Yeah, like that's how
you've seen it.
Yeah, like people have no eyes. Their fingers are falling off. Because leprosy is something about it's in the nerves. Mm-hmm. So it hurt. You won't feel pain.
You've seen this with your own very eyes.
Yeah, I was there. I was there. I was filming. So I see like people getting taken care of. They can't see. It's terrible. And to see that and to see people taking care of them without recognition, without even social media telling people that this is happening.
They're all volunteers.
Volunteers, that must be something. There must, and that really this restores my you know my faith in humanity. You see news like about how corrupt the Philippines is, and then you go to these places and you see people and like, man, grassroots people are really kind. They're loving. If you go to the schools up there in the jungles, they're teachers, you know, and Teacher Jillian, this lady who has an American citizen, decided to live there because when she was a teenager, she got abused, and she said, "You know what? This is not gonna happen while I'm here." And so she went back to the jungle.
She's American. She's white.
No, she's the Filipino, the one that was adopted. Oh. I was telling you about. She said, "I'm gonna my advocacy is not just to teach, but to protect kids. I want my school to be a safe haven."
So she's doing
for
that
young
in
girls.
Palawan right now.
Yeah, up in the mountains, 8-hour hike
every day.
Not every day, but I mean, when you buy your stuff, you need to
walk down.
Yeah. That's not good, bro. It's far.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
man.
So people are good, man. Like media is over exemplifying stuff that are negative. But there are people that are good, loving, self-sacrificing. And what I do is nothing. You know, compared to what these guys are doing. Like Daniel, the pilot guy. He's not paid. Like this dude is dependent on people's funding. Like, hey, this money here. You know, buy this or that. You know, but that guy dedicated his life to live there and to serve locals.
How old is he?
He's 32.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's what he wants to be doing for the rest of his life.
Yeah. The wife interned in, she went to an Ivy League school. I forgot the name of the school. But I mean, an Ivy League school. Now she's serving there in the jungles.
Wow.
That there needs to be a supernatural something there.
Yeah, guys, if you want to support Jasper's cause, no, just follow his Instagram. You have a GoFundMe account there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, my GoFundMe account is there.
And let's support Daniel and his flights and all.
Yeah.
Jasper, if there's one thing you'd like to tell the youth of today, what's something you'd like to tell people out there?
Just be faithful with what you have. Don't wait for something big.
Just be what?
Be faithful with what you have. Whatever it is that you have in your hands, use it for the betterment of your community. Man, I tell you, like, growing up, I realized it's all, I thought it's all about just security, having money, oh, as long as I have a good bank account, all this stuff. But I realized it's all about really helping people around you, your community. So what are the talents I have that could impact people in my community? You don't have to go to China. You don't need to go to the jungles. You just have to be faithful with what you have and serve the community. My brothers and sisters will do that, though. You go to my house, bro. The young people in our community will go to the house and we eat there every day. My brother don't know how to speak. He doesn't know how to pray. He doesn't. He's like not a pastor, you know. He has no talent for this, but he knows how to cook. So every day he would cook for the kids. My mom and dad would cook for the kids. My sisters, and they would take answer their modules. They were very simple stuff. And the young people come to the community and we have little communities in the house. Why? Because as a church, we're not just to, hey, here's something to read. You need to change your lifestyle and all that. No. We need to change statistics. That's the goal. We need to change it. In my community alone, bro, drugs, alcohol, teen pregnancy. What can we do as a family, as a person, to change that statistics? That even just one person will not fall into the statistics of these are drug addicts or these are this. And that's my goal. I wanted to have the people in Palawan, at least they will not be just another statistics. I don't want the people that I can influence or like, again, in the people in Palawan, I don't want them just to be just another statistics of, oh, teen pregnancy or alcoholism or whatever it is that is statistics that are really negative. So I want young people and I want the people that I'm working with to, I want to change the statistics of the community. That's what at least one person will not fall into that negative side of statistics.
But congratulations, man. I mean, I think your Instagram is inspiring so many people. It's inspired me and I'll continue to share your story.
Thanks, man.
And I wish you all the best, Jasper. I wish you all the best and I hope you continue doing what you're doing and I hope people find inspiration and motivation from you. God bless you always. Stay safe and stay healthy, man, so you can do what you're doing.
Thanks, bro.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ayos. Maraming salamat, Jasper.